David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. I am Lisa Urbanski, and I'm super, super excited today. We are going to go on a bit of a hero's journey today. I am here with Nell Anthony Radjason, and on the last episode of her show, she has a show on our channel here. She talked about kind of step two of the hero's journey and what to do when you've been called to make a major shift in your life. And it is such a powerful topic. And she is here today to talk about step three of the hero's journey, and that is crossing the threshold. So, oh my gosh, it is so good to see you and to have you on the show. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing good. I'm really excited about this. Like, I love storytelling when I work with people. So like, this is like in my wheelhouse, and it's, and I'm excited. I'm like really giddy.
Yes, I can tell you're like all lit up. That's awesome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you are a certified transformation coach and a speaker. And what brought you onto the hero's journey topic? Do you want to do a little recap for our listeners of kind of who you are, where you've come from, and yeah, the hero's journey?
Of course. So it all started, I guess, before I was even born. So my parents, I'm daughter of refugees. So my parents are both from Sri Lanka. They're both Tamil. So they left the island because they were going through a civil war, basically a genocide. So the Tamil community was a minority back in this island called Sri Lanka. And the government, a lot of military were targeting the minority, which is the Tamil community. Both of my parents went through absolute hell for more than 4 years. My mom, when the war started, my mom was 14, my dad was 18. So imagine, you know, imagine you when you're 14 years old, imagine you when you're 18. Like, my mom was dodging bombs literally at 1 a.m. because the planes would fly ahead. At 14 years old, being jerked awake, being told to run to the bunker, you know. Imagine my dad, who lived in the city. My mom lived in a more rural area. My dad lived in the city. So imagine at 18 years old, instead, when you should be focusing on like your exams and like, you know, taking a girl out for dinner or something. But no, instead, you're worried about a cop or a military man pulling you over and IDing you and identifying you for being a Tamil minority. And then next thing you know, who knows, right? There's stories of people being, you know, arrested, being held for ransom, being beaten senselessly. So imagine, my parents are both in very critical developmental phases, but instead of being a teenager or being a child, they experienced, you know, repeated trauma for years. And they were lucky enough to leave the country to come to Canada. So my parents, like, imagine, like, I was raised by, and a lot of, you know, children of immigrants and refugees can relate to this. We were raised with parents who have unresolved PTSD. You know, over controlling because they want to control our safety, the survivor's guilt, being told that, you know, me and my sisters, you know, being told that you have to, you know, study hard, work hard, excel, perform, because kids back home are dying, or because, oh, you know, your mother and I, we couldn't, you know, pursue our full education back home because we had to, you know, we had to leave, you know, sell everything, come to Canada. We had nothing. You know, my mother is so intelligent and so smart, but she came to Canada literally with nothing, and she couldn't finish school. She got in, she got accepted, but with what money? She had barely enough money to pay for her food and her rent. My dad was, you know, had to work his way from the, you know, ground up to where they are. Now they're both extremely successful, but imagine, you know, I remember growing up and I'm hearing all these war stories on the news and seeing all these like horrific images on the TV and hearing things on the radio, seeing the newspaper. And that, for me, the war took place for over 26 years. The war ended when I was 14. So pretty much from half more than half my life, this war was, very prominent in my life. So growing up, there was this tendency of being a perfectionist, being needing to excel and perform. So that's how I lived my
Okay.
life. And I did the whole route of, going through engineering school, getting a fancy corporate job, and I thought I was, ticking off all the boxes. And but if I had to, if you asked me years ago how I defined myself, or someone says, oh, introduce yourself, I would be like, I'm an engineer, I'm a big sister, I pick up the kids from school, I do this, or I have a corporate job, I make this many figures, like, blah, 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 blah. Like that was my whole identity. And that
Okay.
was so superficial now that I look
So,
back at it.
why do you think you went into perfectionist mode?
Because I think it was for me, because I grew up, I saw everything that's going on. I was more aware. My sisters are a bit too young. I think that, like, they weren't even born or whatever at that time. But I think they were too young to understand and comprehend. And for me, it was so prominent. Like, there's protests, there's everything going on, everything was in my face. My dad would say stuff like, why are we celebrating, Christmas, or why are we doing this? Like, there's these kids back home that are dying. Like, so there's this need to, like, do all these things and excel and perform so that everything my parents went through wasn't in vain, so that, I can make them
Okay.
proud. It's kind of like le continuing their the life that they couldn't live.
Okay. Yeah, because you felt a lot of like the residual effect. I mean, you were there for, part of what they were going through, but you were there living the energy that they were exerting. So you were taking that on even in your mom's womb, right? So it was like a constant feeling of fight or flight, I imagine. And then wanting them to be so proud of you so they didn't have to kind of feel that. That's a lot to take on.
Oh yeah, plus I was the eldest, like throw that in too. Like it's a
Yeah,
lot.
no, totally. Yeah, that
So for
is.
me,
Yeah.
it's, I was living life thinking that I was like, I feel bad saying this out loud. My sisters are probably hate me, but basically, I was like thinking to myself, I was the best ideal daughter ever. Like I
Okay.
was like, as long as I can do something that my parents can go, my parents never brag. My parents are so such humble people, but in my mind, I was thinking if my parents wanted to brag about me, I'm gonna give them stuff to brag about. Like that's what how I thought about it. Like I'm gonna make them think that everyone else, I'm gonna give them like a reason to, say that I'm perfect, or give them a reason to say that I'm doing well, because everything, like I just that over performance kind of like kicked in. And mind you, like they didn't give me that pressure. This was something that I curated on my own. Like, yes, it's because I was aware of what my parents went through and understanding what was going on back home. Yes, there was this added pressure of like, hey, look, like these kids don't have the opportunities that you have. Like, be grateful, like work hard. And look what your
Right.
mom and I went through. Like, my mom and dad like worked their way up. They had so they I'm like so blessed. Like, I can't even imagine what they went through. So for me, a lot of it was self-manufactured, but at the same time, it was through the influences around me. And all this unresolved trauma that was just passed down that, they were kids when this happened. So like imagine you got thrusted from one space to another space in a new area where you're a minority. Now, Canada's very multicultural, but at the time it wasn't when they came. And they clearly looked different. My mom had to go, I think back in the day when they had grade 13, she had to go through grade 13. Her English was okay, but she was still learning English at the time. So imagine, right? Like these are things that, a lot of us don't really realize, and something things that we take for granted. So for me, it was, I was thinking I was living life perfectly. And then all of a sudden, one day I get a phone call, and this was my threshold moment. So this is something that I may reference to a lot, but this moment was my threshold. And I'll explain why. So I got a phone call on my day off, and it was a phone call from work. And I got a phone call that a friend of mine had passed, and she had died by suicide. And I was in shock because this girl was just amazing. Like, she was the daughter that your parents would tell you to be like. She was
Right.
beautiful, smart, got into MIT because she wanted to do something more. She was, loved at work. She was an intern, so she was young and beautiful, smart, funny, kind, like everything. Like, the list can go on and on. She loved the color purple. She loved Taylor Swift. Like, I can go on about how amazing she was.
I'm so
But
sorry.
It was shocking. Like to this day, like I still, it feels like a dream almost. It doesn't feel real. And, I was cursing on the phone. I was accusing them of lying. And because, I was a prankster at work. So I thought they were playing a prank on me at first. And I was screaming and saying,
Ooh,
this
that's a
is,
bad joke. Yeah,
that's what
that's a
I
bad
kept
joke.
saying. I was like, this is a bad joke, guys. Like, this is not okay. Like, I swear, like, my pranks aren't this bad. They're like, no, like, now, like, she's gone. And I just broke down in tears and I didn't understand why. Like, I truly didn't understand why. And I was telling them, like, we have to investigate, we have to do this. Like, this, there's no way she would do, there's no way she could die by suicide. No way. But then, literally, the next day, I was sent her suicide letter. I had her suicide letter.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And I was reading through it, and as I was reading through it, just the words were just leaping off the page. And I realized in that moment where I was trying to put the pieces together that she was telling my story back to me.
Interesting.
Because the reason why is, and this is so buried away in my memory that it just unlocked when I read this letter, was this was February 2021, 5 years
Okay.
prior. I almost contemplated or felt the same fate.
Wow.
So that was why, this is why this is my threshold, the threshold moment we're building up to. We're not there yet, but this is the beginning of the threshold. And it was, like I just spent days like just numb because I was just reading her letter over. And to this day, I still have it. I did not get rid of it. I still have it because it's a reminder.
Yeah.
And I was just going through it over and over and over again. And she would, those certain words and phrases that really stood out to me was when she was saying, I should be grateful. She too thought that she was doing everything right. She said, I was doing everything right. I was trying to live life the right way. I thought it was the only way to live. And that is what truly, truly hit me. And it was only a couple of days after where I just kept reading her letter, rewinding over, and it was that specific phrase that kind of really, that was my threshold moment where I finally just, this combination of anger, emotion, like anger, like sadness, like confusion, all came together and just kind of clicked with that phrase because both of us were living to meet society's expectations. Both of us were trying to live life the way that we perceived as perfect, or not even that, the way that we were told was perfect. So from that moment, I just got angry, and it was the anger that caused me to move across the threshold. So for me, it was the anger that kind of forced me to think like, I was mad at society. I was mad at myself. I was mad at the people around me who didn't, we just, all of us try to meet society's expectations, and a lot of us lose ourselves in the process. But, it's just society says it's okay because they keep forcing these expectations on our throat. And I think that is what truly caused me to wake up and realize that was my call to act, like that was my call to action. And then the moment that it all clicked for me was the moment that I decided like this needs to change. And I started, and that's when I crossed the threshold to really understand who I really was, because at that moment I didn't even know what part of me was real or what part of me was authentic. I was questioning everything, like why do I not like the color pink? But then now I love the color pink. It's like so weird. Like why am I dressing this way? Why do my do I even really like my friends? Do I even like this job? Or is this because it's a job I can brag about? Is this just something I can tick box? Like, all these things that I was questioning about myself. I was spiraling. And I just didn't know what to do. I was questioning every aspect about myself. So that's kind of, years. It took years for me to kind of, and then COVID hit. And it was kind of a blessing in disguise because it caused me to go into isolation. It forced me to be alone with my thoughts. It forced me to, look into self-development and personal growth. And it kind of, I just accidentally stumbled upon, all these people and this network and these courses about, being a life coach and being a transformation coach. Because as we started to, I guess, emerge from the pandemic, I started to talk to people who also were kind of going through the same thing, but they were kind of where I was. They were spiraling. They were questioning their marriages or questioning their friend groups or questioning their career. They're questioning, is this really how I'm going to live my life for the next like 50, 60 years? And then that would just cause them to spiral. So I kind of realized like there's so many people out there that are going through what I went through, but just don't know what to do, or they're just spiraling, or it's because of these moments of feeling lost, and like it's like you feel you don't know what else to do, that hopelessness, that loneliness. That ultimately is what, causes people to unfortunately question what's the point. And it
Right.
also, brings them to scary thoughts and scary actions, and that's what I want to avoid.
Yeah, we're not taught how to look within, right? Like society puts all these pressures on us. And when we look on social media, all we're surrounded with is like people's ideal lives, and growing up, like I wasn't taught how to feel my feelings and learn how to like listen to my intuition and do things that make me happy. It was about performance and, how am I going to make money? How are you going to survive? That's a lot. That's a lot of pressure. And never mind in your life to add on the pressure of, what your family went through, right? So you weren't taught how to manage that. And so you went into survival mode and you ignored all those feelings. So what an awakening, though. Like COVID was a blessing for you. It allowed you time to actually face that stuff. So what was that like?
It was really weird at first because I'm so used to doing stuff, and growing up, that overperformance, like I was involved in swimming and sports and doing that course and this course and studying Spanish and doing work, and I was so busy, but all of that came to a standstill. And for me, it was more of like my thoughts got scary in terms of like, what am I doing with my life? I'm wasting my life. I'm not happy. I could have done this. I could have done all these things, and it was pretty scary. And it was only through, journaling, I started getting really into. I fell upon spirituality because, and my relationship with God has changed. But at the time, I was mad at God because it's like you're letting all these bad things happen. Like for what reason? What purpose? Like I was just questioning everything. And
Right.
even with when my friend passed, I was confused. Like why would God let someone like so beautiful like that
Yeah.
feels like. How dare God, I feel bad, but how dare God let this beautiful person have these thoughts, let this beautiful person, like why couldn't God have helped us see, or how come God didn't save her? Like I was all these things, like I was just so mad
Wow.
at God, but I needed something to ground me, and religion was always that, but I didn't know what else. So that's when I started to get into spirituality, because I'm like, oh, this is kind of So I started to get into spirituality, and then through spirituality, I got into like meditation and journaling, and those are what really helped me take all the scary thoughts in my mind and organize it and put it on paper and actually face it. Versus when all your thoughts are in your mind, it just spirals out of control.
Yeah, I can absolutely relate to that. I can absolutely relate to that. So you started to deal with kind of like the thoughts in your mind through spirituality. And so how did that help you?
It helped ground me because this comes back to the image of someone literally crossing a line from their old life to their new life. So for me, finding spirituality was my physical movement of whether it's mentally, emotionally, physically, was my physical movement of that was a day that I did something different and knew that I didn't know and understand, and I crossed a threshold of something completely uncertain that I was uncertain of, lack of control, all these things. So for me, when I moved into spirituality, this was something of this is kind of like a way of, how do I say it, is me and purging or ending my old life and then starting anew, letting go of something that
Okay.
was familiar and going into something that was unfamiliar. So for me, this was the moment where I started to take new steps. I started to, read books on spirituality. I started to listen to podcasts, listen to YouTube videos, read books. And I started to do all these things because this whole imagine like facing this like realization of I don't know what part of me is real. I don't know if I'm living my life authentically. I don't even understand who I am. And on top of that, I'm struggling with my relationship with God and the religion. So now I'm trying to pick a new thing to guide me. So it's like I was terrified because I had no idea what the hell was going to happen. And I was so scared because of my tendency to be, a perfectionist, I'm now going into something that I don't have control over. And that's terrifying. And I can relate. Like imagine other examples, like you're changing a career, you're moving to a new city, you're leaving a relationship. Like all these things are good examples of leaving something behind that you are comfortable with, is you're familiar with, and you're moving into something new. You're leaving behind your old life and you're embarking on a journey. Think about you jumping on a boat and like setting sail, and there's no turning back at this point. So for me, being able to break it down into small things, like when you Google spirituality or Google finding yourself and self-discovery, there's so many things. And this is way before AI. So AI couldn't, I couldn't have been like ChatGPT, summarize this in 4 steps. Like there was none of that. So there was just information overload. And there's so many, I was so overwhelmed. Like I was battling with so many things. So for me, it kind of spirituality was a part of it, but really just using different strategies to help me kind of cross that threshold and dealing with the unknown. And those strategies, could be.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Breaking things into smaller steps, like you know where you want to go. Or you think you know where you want to go at the moment, because that always changes. And then just break it into the smaller steps. Okay, let me start with just this book. Or another example will be, if you're changing your career, let me start with this book, or let me start with this YouTube video, or let me start with, oh, my cousin is in this industry. Let me call him and like ask him some questions. Like small things is how you do it. And also having a backup plan, having a safety net, because a lot of times, a lot of people think when they crush a threshold into something new, they're just going to fall and there's no one's going to catch them. They're going to hit their head. They're going to fall down a deep hole. But if that's what your fear is, then you can come up with a backup plan. But like, for me, like when I finally got a hold of who I was, and the next step was to show people that, or even like when I started to do my speaking and coaching business and speaking about it, like I had no game plan. I just literally said, okay, let me start with one person. Let me start talking to my friend about this, or let me do a small, phone call here. Let me try to talk to my parents on this dinner, but only about this little event thing. Little things, right? Like this is kind of how you start it. But the safety net is, for me, was for a lot of people, safety net could be different things. For example, for myself, it was spirit and universe being like everything will work out for me. That was my safety net. Me repeatedly, repeating affirmations, doing journaling, doing, full moon and new moon rituals. That's, that may be a bit above too much for some people, but everyone has their own. When it comes to spirituality, it's kind of like you make it your own. But for me, it was the universe being like, okay, everything is meant to balance. What co goes up must come down, like vice versa. For other people, a good example is like, say that you're tired of your career. You work 10 years in it, you want to change it. But a lot of people are scared. They're worried, okay, what if like I can't find a job right away? What if I can't launch my new business or something like that? So a safety net could be as simple as setting up an emergency fund. Start saving up for a year, 6 months, whatever you feel comfortable with. That's a safety net. Or even, starting a freelancing career on the side of your 9 to 5. That's what I did. I started my freelancing on the side and then just, manage my 9 to 5. And that way, for me personally, it was kind of like, okay, I'm trying to figure out if this is being a coach and a speaker is what I want to do. But then even if it does, it fails, thinking worst case, I still have my 9 to 5. So these are just some strategies, and also just dealing with visualization. And that was a tool that spirituality helped me with. And I think a lot of religions have this too, but just visualizing your success, like remembering your why, looking at, okay, you know what? You're going to something scary, but imagine what will happen once you get there. How will your life change? What will you look like? What will you feel like? How will you feel? Like, it's definitely going to be better than what you're feeling now. And I think that thought alone is just so empowering and motivating.
So empowering. Yes, I love that. I'm all about this stuff. So everything you're saying, I'm like holding back. So I want to like talk about it with you, and I can't wait for
Oh, yeah.
more episodes. But I totally can relate. So I was addicted to opiates, and then when I got sober, I was like, grass. I don't even recognize what grass looks like. Like it was like a whole new world of like self-discovery, and that was absolutely terrifying. It was like having to learn how to live minute to minute, you know what I mean? And like discovering what my true purpose was and who I truly was after years of not feeling that. So crazy, so crazy.
Yeah, and even like it's something else that I think this is like the one of the main, the key couple of key things that people forget is it's okay, you're naturally meant to be scared. We're all human, but at the same time, like reframe it for excitement. Like you mentioned, like you get to literally learn to live again. Like that's kind of cool if you think about it. It's like, how are you going to fall in love with ice cream the same way? Are you going to fall in love with that show again? Are you going to fall in love with, you know, hiking? Like, are you going to find a new hobby? Like, it's all these things where it's like, you know, you're going to find something new and you're going to discover something new. Like, it's when people, you hear so many stories of someone saying, like, if I didn't quit my job and started my business, I wouldn't be living in Bali right now with six figures. Or if I didn't, you know, end that toxic relationship, I wouldn't have met my future husband who treats me like I'm a queen. Like, it's like all these stories. This kind of shows you, like, imagine how much anxiety and stress they would have reduced if they had just said, you know what? Like, I'm doing this. I'm so terrified, but like, I could potentially be a millionaire. I could be a business owner. I can meet my future spouse. I can, you know, travel the world like I've always wanted. Like, it's all these things. It's like people forget, like, we, as much as humans want to be practical, it's the hope and the dreams and the desire that truly is part of, you know, I think everyone's life purpose here is like being curious, being excited to live and learn about life. We tend to just get comfortable and then we just stay there. And society doesn't help because they're like, oh, you know, go to school, get a job, get married, get a house, get kids. And then it kind of just, and then this is, and then goes from get kids to like retire. So it's like, what do you like? That's it. Like, you know, most people on average have kids, you know, in their 30s and in their 20s. So you're saying your life is done? You're just on like autopilot until like 70, 60. Like, that's depressing.
That's no fun, yeah.
So yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, you have to, you know, have these strategies in place, right? Like, have a back, break it into small steps, have a backup plan, you know, and you know, understand that this is new and exciting. You're gonna make mistakes. That's normal. It's just prepare yourself or prepare that you're gonna make mistakes, but it's an opportunity to grow. It's not failure, it's not a challenge, it's just an opportunity for growth. And as you go through these, like the next thing is, you know, resilience, right? Understanding that resilience is truly a muscle that we develop for the rest of our lives. It's one thing because a lot of people, what their challenge is when they cross the threshold, they just freeze there because they'll come against their first setback. And sure, they'll get over it. But then the second, the third, the fourth, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, this is too hard. I can't do this anymore. Like, why did I do this? Like, why am I here? But the thing is, if you're going back to the boat analogy, you're already in the middle of the ocean. It's going to take you much longer to go back. Might as well just keep going forward. You've already made it this far. So a lot of people don't realize like resilience is a key thing that you need to understand, that you have to expect setbacks, but you have to understand that these are blessings because you're going to learn something new. And I find that so crazy. Like, even something that happened to you yesterday or the day before, like, people don't realize like it's an everyday thing. Like, you can learn something today that you didn't know 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago. Like, that's kind of trippy if you think about it. Like, every 5 minutes you could be learning something new. Every 5 minutes you can have another tool in your toolbox. And that's the part that people tend to forget. And that's completely human. But
Yeah,
it's
the
something
unknown
that's
is
so
scary,
exciting.
right? The unknown is scary for a lot of people, but you're right. I truly believe that The universe puts us through situations to allow us to get to the next level. Like, that's what I believe. And so when you go through a difficult season, I like to call them difficult seasons, I am always excited because I'm like, something better and bigger is going to happen, right? Like, you just have to hold on to that feeling that the universe is on your side, right?
Yeah, of course. And I'll share a personal story, and my husband laughs when I say this, but I got diagnosed with alopecia because, again, I'm a very high stress individual, and my alopecia was during a time where there's a lot of stress in my life. And luckily, I'm grateful that I caught it early, so now I know what to do. But I was getting treatment for it, and then during one of the treatment sessions, I fainted and I hit the back of my head, and I got a concussion. So I, you know, from just this happened on New Year's Eve of all days. So New Year's Eve this happened, and I was like pushing through because we were hosting a party. And then just like that night, I just like fell apart because I think it was just my body just processing the trauma. Like I was in the ER for a couple of hours. I had to go back to the ER the next day. I had all these, things. My body was just out of whack. And for the next, I think today is probably the first day where I was like, oh, whoa, like my migraines haven't been that bad. My migraine, like my concussion symptoms haven't that been that bad. And I was telling my husband like when it happened, we were driving home from the ER, and I told my husband, I was like, what do you think the reason is for my concussion? And my husband's like, what do you mean? Like you fell because your body went into shock from the treatment. Like, what do you mean? I was like, no, not that. Like, why do you think the universe or God gave me this concussion? And my husband's like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, are you crazy? Like, are you okay? You hit your head pretty hard. And I said, no, like, think about it. Like, I can sit here and cry and be like, oh, concussion, I'm gonna have symptoms. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I can never be normal. Blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, once I framed my mindset of like, okay, so I have this concussion. Like, what is it causing me to focus more on? Because I have this huge belief that all of us are meant to do something bigger than ourselves. And if we don't pay attention to it, the universe will gladly come in and kind of, force us to listen.
Oh
There's
yeah,
so many
they'll send their
signs, and if we don't listen,
disciples. Yeah.
yeah. So my like for me, I was telling myself, I was like, maybe, I was meant to focus. Like now I know, I'm like, oh, I'm meant to like do this, or I'm meant to do this. Like, and my husband goes like, you're so like weird. Like I don't understand. But I'm like, no. Like if it wasn't for my concussion, I wouldn't have thought seen of this. I wouldn't have thought about this. So it's like a whole thing. And I feel like once people kind of have that approach to life, you kind of gamify life in a way. And I don't know if that's controversial to say, but I kind of feel like it's more exciting because now I'm just like, okay, so what's my adventure now? Like, what's my journey? Like, what am I gonna go on? Like, this is gonna be so cool because months from now I'm gonna see it all. It's that song from Frozen. Like, it's all gonna make sense when I'm older, when Olaf says it. That's kind of it.
What is it? I believe that's it. I 100% believe in that. That's how I live my life. I'm always like excited. Like it is, I totally can relate to you in that moment of you hitting your head and being like, oh my God, something crazy good is going to come from this, right? Like,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
It's so crazy. I threw my back out and I was like, oh my God, what does the universe have in store for me after this, right? Like, yeah, it's so awesome. I love that.
Yeah, and I think. And like I know people are probably gonna listen to us and be like, oh my God, these like women are crazy. Like they don't get fazed at
No,
all.
they're
Like,
smart. We're
no.
smart.
Literally yesterday, I was overwhelmed because I got feedback that was meant for my betterment, but for some reason my body felt like I was being attacked, or I didn't feel safe, that fight and flight response. And this is normal when you get feedback or criticism, or when you fail, or someone doesn't like something, like you kind of your body comes and goes into panic. And I was going through it. And I was crying, and my husband's like, why are you crying? And I'm like, I just need to get this out of my body. But then I had to stop and be like, I'm meant to get this feedback because it's meant to build my resilience, or I'm going through this rough period right now because it's meant to help me grow my resilience. And my husband's like, but you're crying. Like, this is not okay. And I was like, no, it's fine. It's okay. Like, soon, like, if this happens again, like 2 months from now, 3 months from now, I'm not gonna cry. Like, I'm gonna get stronger. And I think that's what people forget. Like, people, I think a lot of people don't share their own experiences of being like, hey, listen, like I'm telling you guys to have a more of reframe your mindset and do this and do that. But I'm telling you, like, even to this day, literally yesterday, I still have to pause and remind myself, like, this is an opportunity for growth. Like, this is, let me observe, let me go for a walk, let me meditate, let me cry, let me journal this. But then once I get it out of my system, once my body allow my body to react, let me l think about this logically and be like, okay, what is the journey I'm meant to go on? What is the lesson I'm meant to learn?
Yeah, your body has to process the emotions, right? Like you have to process events, and that's like a natural body response, and that means your body's healthy, right? And we cannot make decisions when we're in that emotional state. Like we absolutely cannot. So I always like go to yoga, and then like I'm in that theta state. My brain is in those theta waves, and then I just feel like, wow, like everything is clear again. But it's a natural response, right? So yeah, that's so awesome.
And I think a lot of people forget that, like, when you go on the hero's journey, like, I always say, like, if someone, like, one of my clients was like, oh, like, my boss keeps getting mad at me, or my spouse is saying this, or, and they're always kind of, and I said, what do you think? Like, do you, if you look at all, like, refer back to all the heroes that you grew up learning about in movies and books, and, did Superman become Superman, like, right away? Like, is he still, don't you remember watching Justice League growing up? Like, every episode he had a situation he had to deal with. Like, even, Harry Potter and Moana and all these, like, Elsa from Frozen. Like, if you call upon all your favorite, characters, like, fictional characters, they don't just finish one challenge and then they're done for the day. That would be an incredibly short book and movie. That'd be a boring book or movie. So a lot of people, like, I kind of bring them to back to remind, like, remind them, like, Hercules went through trials, like, all these people went through trials. Heck, like, certain movies and books have sequels because they have that many things to learn and go through. So I feel like once you have that mindset, like, the pressure kind of, is off your shoulders, because it's like, okay, obstacles are coming. Each obstacle is an opportunity for growth, but, it's okay. And you're just going to build and learn and grow, and you're going to get closer and closer to the life of your dreams. Like, if I compare the challenges that I went through when I was in my comfort zone versus the challenges I'm going through now, yeah, the challenges that I'm going through now are very intense, but I'm so much happier than I am now than I was like 5, 6 years ago.
Totally. Yeah, that's the key. That's the key is you're feeling your feelings and you're doing things that you actually love to do, right? And that is so true. Most people fail who start like a multi-million dollar business will start like five and they'll fail at them. It's you have to try. Do things messy. That's my motto. Do things messy. If you're not going to do anything and you're not going to try, you're not going to go anywhere, right? You're not going to discover things about yourself. So wow, what an incredible journey you've been on. And so you've written a book. You've written a book and it's called Gifts of Pain. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So it's called The Gifts of Pain. It's a collection of stories from authors. So this is the third edition, and I've worked with the amazing Elena Fernandez. If you guys search her up, she's a TED Talk speaker, she's an author, she was the key person in helping bringing all of us authors together. There's 31 of us, and there's 31 stories, and I'm one of the co-authors on this book. And basically, this book is a really good example of women that and men who've gone through their own hero's journey, and they kind of share what they've gone through. And basically, they provide tips in this book of, I went one woman, was, raped by her father, and she went from that to now being, I know her personally, she's an amazing, bright, such a vibrant woman. You wouldn't have known that she would have gone through this. There's stories of women that, stood up against their religious leaders, because a religious leader is being very, controlling, or it was going against the values. There's women that left their narcissistic, abusive husbands. The youngest author on this book is 13 years old, by the way, which is insane. But I truly think that this book is amazing, because if you are having a moment where you're like, why is everything against me? Well, I feel hopeless. Like, this is so hard. I just ask you to just open this book, open it to a random chapter, and just read the story of these amazing people. Because along with the story, there is an activity section where basically each author, these are coaches, speakers, authors, amazing people, brilliant people who've been in the field for 20 plus years, even, that actually give you tools for free in that book that you can follow through. And if you ever have a challenge that you're facing, you could just open this book. And it's kind of one of those, mementos to remind you, like, there's so many people out there that go through challenges and go through their own hero journeys. You're not alone. The struggle is real. It's better to acknowledge that, but there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And this book is proof of that.
Oh, I love that. And where can we find that book? Where can we find your book?
So the book, you can buy it on Amazon. You can just search up
Okay.
It's the Queen Volume 3. Or if you guys want, I'm also doing, that's the ebook. I think the paperback book is going to be launching soon. But if you want a personalized autographed book, I always tell people you can just DM me on Instagram. And more than happy to sign an autographed book or even just have a chat session if you want to go out talk about the book as well.
Oh, I love that. And what is your Instagram handle for our listeners?
Yeah. So my Instagram handle is very easy. It's at NEL and then my last name, Raw Jason. So it's at NEL Raw Jason. My handle's consistent throughout everything. And I guess this is a fun fact for me to share. Even if you just Google my name, I am the one and only in the world with that name. So it's much easier to
No
find.
way.
Very easy. Yeah. I
That's
used to
so
Google myself as
crazy.
a kid. And when I Googled
Wow.
myself, there used to be zero search results. But because of my work as a coach and speaker, now I actually have content. And that content is basically
Wow.
things that I do to help other people in terms of transforming their lives and figuring out their purpose and just being happy again. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, fun fact.
That's amazing. Well, I love that so much. You have like quite the story and quite a lot of information to share with people as a coach. And I can just feel your energy in this call right now. And it is like energetic, and I'm feeling like so good talking to you. So I can only imagine what your clients feel like.
Oh, you're so sweet. And even your story that you shared, that's so difficult and challenging that you've gone through. And to see that how far you've come, this is amazing too.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you go through something like that, you truly understand what life should be about, right? Like people who've been through struggles just kind of get it. And they want to help people. So that's where you're at too, right? And tell us a little bit about the services that you provide.
Yeah, of course. So I'm a certified transformation coach and a life coach. I use cognitive behavioral therapy as like a tool specifically. So what I do is I offer coaching, one-on-one coaching sessions. I do keynote speaks. I'm a keynote speaker as well. And I also do a lot of workshops. So I do workshops for summits and conferences, even corporate settings as well. But essentially, I help people navigate difficult transitions in their lives, whether it be, realizing your kids are going to school and you just don't know who you are anymore, going through a divorce, a breakup, a career transition. If you've kind of had a very difficult situation, you just don't know what to do and you're questioning what you're doing with yourself, or you just want to truly find what you should be doing in life. Those are kind of things that I do. I basically help women who feel like they're being unheard, unloved, undervalued, feel like women who just feel like they speak and their voice doesn't matter. I help those women gain their confidence and figure out who they are and find their voice again.
Awesome. I love that. You empower women through your story.
Yeah.
Amazing. And where can we find your services? Are they on your Instagram handle?
Yes, if you go to my Instagram handle, everything is there. That's the best place to
Okay.
reach me, or even my LinkedIn. I think my LinkedIn and my Instagram is the best, if you want that fast response.
Awesome. Oh my gosh, this was so much fun. You have such a story to tell, and you're going to impact so many people.
Thank you. That's the
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I had an amazing time.
All right. You guys, that was Nell Anthony, Red Jason. And thank you for listening to another episode of The Advisor.